If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And starting at verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Feel free to say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Amen, brother.
So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. So it surpasses knowledge. So you can cram your head all you want with knowledge about the Word and about the Lord and that, but it's said that this love surpasses knowledge. Because if you've all the, is it 1 Corinthians 13? About, you know, you're like a sounding brass gong if you haven't got love. So love is key to the message that we carry. And that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Amen to that.
Amen.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. There's a loaded statement there, if ever there was one. According to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So Father, we bless this morning. So we bless you for it, Lord, and we just say thank you that you're faithful, that you're amazingly true. Even when we don't see it, Lord, you're still there. So, Father, we just look to you today for everything that you're about to do in our midst. Everything that you're going to do, everything that you've promised to do, and everything that we see you already starting. So today, as we talk about it, Lord, we want to bless you, because you are the God who says that our ways are not your ways, and your ways are not his ways. So, so we just bless you, Lord, that you are good all the time. Amen.
Amen.
So a lot of the times we've got, everybody loves a good apple, don't they?
Apple.
Apple?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you eat an apple, what is the part you normally throw away?
The core.
The core. Yeah. What does the core contain?
Seeds.
Seeds. If you eat the core, you normally would do what with the seeds?
Spit them out.
Yeah. So you don't realize that when you've got something that tastes so good, and you actually get to the part and you think, spit them out, you're actually sending forth the actual seed that's within for the future. It's a seed that carries promise that stuff will continue. And so many of us actually learn how what it's like to spit the seed out rather than digesting the seed and allowing it to birth in us what we sense sometimes happening, but we need the seed that the Lord has given us to actually create that faith to begin to see with eyes that heaven sees and go after what we see God doing.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning, I want to go through this. And I want to just go through these slides with you this morning and just share a little bit about what I'm sensing and what me and Sharon are sensing that the future holds for us. And we're going to, a lot of what the future holds for us is all a lot to do with what the Lord has already spoken over our lives prophetically, what we have sensed from the Lord. And so we just wanted to go through this morning to reiterate, to make you aware if you've never heard it before, but actually to allow us to start thinking, because 2020 is the start of a new 10-year period.
Amen.
So it's like another leaf is being turned in the book, and we want to be aware of what God has been saying, but what he's leading us into.
Amen.
Yeah? The shock is coming.
Amen.
The Lord spoke over us very clearly last summer that we were going to end up with a property in a mercantile courtyard. We nearly had it in November, but it all fell through. So it was like the carrot we had in our hand that got whipped out again. Why? Well, I'm not really sure, but I know that when God speaks something over through a prophet, it's no less the word of God than just because it's come out of a man's mouth.
Yeah.
So you've got to adhere, you've got to pray into, and you've got to look for the seed within the word of what the Lord is actually saying. So a mercantile courtyard can mean, well, to America, it means like a shopping mall. Whereas our closest thing here to that, which equivalent of that, would be like Saxon Square.
Yeah.
And that's where we nearly got the shop in Saxon Square. So we went after it, we nearly got it, but we still know that God spoke it over our lives. So we're going to end up with a shop someday.
Amen.
That's going to be available to the community, for the community to come in, for us to run and help staff, because we'll have interns in that are going to actually be part of staff and work the shop, so they earn their own money and the shop earns its keep. But the people in the community get to rub shoulders with the church.
Amen.
Now, we'd really love to have one big enough that so when Sunday comes, we're not in a room like this, but we can do church in the coffee shop. And we can have offices up above as well. So Freedom Fire Ministries is our registered UK charity, and the Father's House is a department of the overall charity. So as we grow, like when we have the bike project, and we had Triple F, they were projects within Freedom Fire Ministries. And they're no longer, but we believe that they will come back again. They were almost like foretastes of what God's about to do in the multiplication that he has planned for us. So Freedom Fire Ministries is going to grow, and somewhere there is a shop.
Amen.
Not Castlemaine 4X. I didn't have that one. But the Australians would be going, oh, good day, pint, right? Or why not? Why not home base as a home base for Father's House? So there's a place that we've got to start praying into and believing that when God speaks, we've got to enlarge the vision, because, yeah, we could actually go for like Saxon Square Mercantile Courtyard, but what if God was speaking more about going for something bigger that will fulfill all that he has dreamt over us as a fellowship? You got to be careful that you don't hear God's word wrong when he speaks, and you minimize, because of our rationale, that we minimize the potential that God is speaking over our lives. So we got to be careful about that. Stop speaking. So, ho, everyone who thirsts, who comes to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. If we have the premise within the local community, then people, it's accessible. It says there, come to the waters. Waters is a source. It's a source that comes to people. It's provision. So if we're there as the provision in the community, it's going to... So like I was saying, the source, we want people to come. We want to be the people that we can invite people to come in. We want them to come with their stories. We want to get to know them, because they're every bit as much a son or a daughter of the living God we are. The only difference is we know about him and we've said yes. So they're still part of God's plan that none should perish, all should get saved. So we want people to come into the fellowship and join with us and be part of community in the Christchurch area. Do you know that the scientists have roughly guesstimated, because they can't actually fully get it correct, because there's nobody who could live long enough to actually probably count it properly, but by scientific calculation, they reckon that there's quintillions of sand granules on the earth. And that within one hand, depending on the size of your hand, there's between 1.5 and 2 million grains of sand in one person's hand. And the Father says that's the thoughts that he has towards us. So it's like never ending. God's ability to actually speak into our lives. So God's promise. What's God's promise to us? Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sands, that sand doesn't quite well that color, which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. We sang this morning that he's still on the throne. He's not come off the throne. He doesn't lie. So his word is still strong and true. And this is a promise that God has spoken to us that follow him. So why will he not be fulfilling that today as he was then? God's still in the control. He's still working out his purposes on the earth. His purpose would be that the kingdom of God doesn't shrink, but it's ever growing and expanding. That's God's position. He's never designed something that would shrink and shrink back and fizzle out. No, it's ever going to be growing and getting larger and larger and larger the more it grows. So God is good. And if you turn to Isaiah again, that Isaiah 55 and go down to verse 11. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Yeah? So God's word is good. God's word will fulfill what it is he's planning. And Luke 4:18, which is Jesus in the Gospels, actually reading out to the Pharisees and the Jews, Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free, and to release those from enslavement. So like God has given us a mandate, Jesus has given us a mandate to actually carry the authority and the power that he has to actually go and do the same as what he was saying that he was sent to the earth to do. He passed that commission on to us to actually go do the stuff that Jesus would have been still doing today if he was still here. How do we get there? Well, Isaiah 26, verse 9. At night my soul longs for you. Indeed my spirit within me seeks you diligently. I just think your heart, the more you get closer to the Lord, gets bigger for him, and your desire to be with him is actually greater. And it grows on you. It mushrooms. And you just want more and more of him. For when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Wow. So there's things that the Lord arranges on the earth that brings people to an awareness of his righteous ways, his righteousness. So God is good in everything that happens and in everything that he does. So where are we going as a church, as a ministry? Why are we going? And what are we to do? Anybody want to answer those? You said that, you go ahead. So where are we going? Into the vision of the future. Because the Lord has spoken clearly to us about where we're going. And to say into the vision of the future is putting a big sort of statement to encapsulate what actually he's been talking about and what he's actually been preempting us to do. Because if you turn to Isaiah 45... Speak more on this later, but if you go to 45 and verse 3, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord God of Israel, who calls you by your name. We'll touch on that again in a few minutes time. But basically there's a plan and a purpose that God has been putting in place with us. When we were in America in 2009, the Lord spoke to us very clearly, because you were looking at two people that when the guy prophesied over us, we actually looked at him and laughed. Because he came off the platform from behind the prayer mic, came down, put his hands on us and said, I see a new book for you guys, not just a new chapter. I see you planting churches. I see this, 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 this. And I looked at him and said, you got that wrong, mate. I said, I'm not a pastor. I don't want to be one. Here I am. you know, fulfilling what was spoken over our lives, but we didn't quite see it then, but we knew we had to take note of what was being said. And then there was other stuff that happened in 2009 when we were there, because we went with a prayer, Lord, introduce us to Lou Engel, because I had been spoken to by the Lord in 2008, and the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice over in Branson one day when I was working, chiseling out sockets in a wall in a kitchen. And I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me, and it said, this, take the football stadium. And I thought, what? What do you mean that? So I put my tools down, because at this stage I was like shaking. The anointing was so, and I'd never had that at work before, because I'd always been focused on work, not focused on the Holy Spirit. So I didn't quite get the interruption of the Holy Spirit. So I went into the garden outside this big house, and I walked around the garden, and I said, Lord, what are you actually saying by that? We have literally come back after 5 years in Ireland. I don't have that many connections. Why are you saying take the stadium? And this was like February, March time of February, March time of 2008. And in the garden, he proceeded to add to it. He said, if you call, I will come. And since 2008, I have known that the Lord has been speaking about a stadium event here in Bournemouth, where tens of thousands are going to come into the kingdom of God. The outworkings of that still have to happen, but I believe God led us into a secret of his heart, a dream of which he has for this area. Because when you think about the Christchurch and the building of the priory alone, just as one particular little link in this scenario that God has set in motion, they said that Jesus was there every day working. And when the beam was short one day, the builders came back the next day, and it was in its place and extended by the amount it was short the day before. And this carpenter never came for his wages on Friday. If Jesus was there then at the building of the priory, he's intending a revisit. And we're going to be part of the people who see the revisit of God in this area and in this locality. Now 10 years has passed, and I've been carrying this. Have I seen it yet? No, but there's something in me, in my spirit, that says this is still coming. It's about to happen. And I sense that the more the years go on, the more it's getting closer. And that dream of God's is in me. It's like something he gave a flashpoint and ignited something in my spirit that I can't put down. And yes, there's years when it's gone past and I've said, well, that's just been me, it's been on my head, I've just been thinking this out. And yet you get these natural thoughts that come through saying, are you really God this? Did you hear God? And you get these doubts that the enemy tries to sow in to what he has been saying. Yeah. But without a shadow of a doubt, we're going to the stadium.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
We're going to the stadium.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to be part of it. Amen?
Amen?
You're going to be witnessing tens of thousands of people coming into the kingdom. And they're going to be flocking into the stadium. It excites me even talking about it. So we're going into the vision of the future. We follow our leader, Jesus. There's no other voice that we need to hear. When he speaks something over your life, when he speaks prophetically over your life, when he drops a dream into your sleep, you've got to pay heed to it, because it may take time. And I was listening to Lou Engel the other day, and Lou Engel was saying, he says, it's amazing how God works when he actually drops something in your thinking or into your life in a dream, and then it seems to go quiet from him, and then 10 years later, it's all of a sudden God goes, Peekaboo! How about this? And it's like it stirs again in you, and that's what I feel in this season. The Lord has done that peekaboo, and it's actually been stirred again. Because I was watching Lou the other night. Let's go back a bit. But on Tuesday night last week, we were in the prayer room praying, and I had this picture of this old English oak, and the oak was bigger than my arms could even get halfway around it. So it had been a big old tree in its day, and it was covered in moss, and it had been cut off about this height, about 3 feet off the ground, and it was dying and dead. And then as I looked, I stepped forward and I looked into the central core of the tree, all of a sudden my eyes beheld this shoot this new root came out of it, this seed that we would normally spit out, came out of the tree, all with brightly little coloured leaves in it, and began to grow again. And the Lord spoke and says, the English little oaks are going to come alive again in this nation. There's something about the new awakening of the new dawn of a new day. And we're about to head into 2020, which is could be for your opticians going, that's for clear vision, that's for good eyesight. And we need to see what God is showing us that we're about to walk into the, in this next 10-year period. Amen?
Amen?
So, why are we going? Because we love Jesus. And we want to do the very things that the Lord wants us to do. We want to be the ones that actually get to go do it. We want to be the ones that say, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me. I don't want you to send anybody else. I don't want someone else to go and get the glory. I want to be giving the glory back onto the Lord when he comes and walks this scenario out. Amen? So what are we to do? It's the task before us. It's whatever the Lord lays upon your heart that you know you've got to go do, because it won't let you alone until you see the fulfillment of it. It's like something that's birthed in you, but it can take 9 months before it comes out. So it's nonetheless valid as it is when it's birthed as when it is when it's born. It's just in the process that you've got to wait until you actually see the physical appearance of what God Almighty is doing. When an apple tree is born, if it has no apples, is it still an apple tree?
Yes.
Just because you don't see the fruit on it doesn't mean that you can name it something else. It's still an apple tree. It's in God's plan. It's in his design and his purposes. So we're here to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Love like Jesus. Be the kingdom right here, right now. Amen? That's who we are. And look at the size of this, and you think, you must be talking through your hat. How are you going to manage this with so few people here? It's not about the numbers, it's about standing still and standing firm on the rock, Christ Jesus, and believing, because faith is seeing something that you can't physically see, but you know it's coming, and you believe it, and you work towards it, and you pray into it, and you carry it, because it's a burden that the Lord has placed upon you. Yeah? So even though you can't see it, you know, and it's going to take hundreds of thousands to actually go to the stadium. And we at the minute, as a church, we are struggling financially, but yet, when God speaks something, I am a greater believer in the Lord God Almighty, who says, well, something's going to happen, that he is the provider, he is the one that owns all the cattle on a thousand hills. He is the one that built this whole planet. He designed it all. He can raise people from the dead. He raised his son from the dead. And he tells us that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is inside us.
That's right.
If we abide in the Father and he abides in us, then we get to hear what the Father's thinking, and we get the privilege of walking out what the Father wants us to do. Amen? You got to get excited, folks. This is like, we're talking big stuff here, but we're talking stuff that God says you can do. It's not impossible because God's in it all. Amen? Buy the field. Sometimes it costs. It's going to cost a lot to do and fulfill this. But I have a Father that owns a lot. And in Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Isaiah 45:3.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of the hidden treasures and the wealth of the world?
The Lord.
Who's the revealer of that?
The Lord.
Who's the one that could lay a dream on some guy in America tonight saying that you need to give Freedom Fire £100,000 and later this week it drops into your account? It's the Lord.
Yeah.
It's the Lord that brings things together. It's the Lord that formulates. And we can think and work out all we want, and we can try and place it and put it together.
Right.
But it's going to take the Lord, because it's such a big thing that unless the Lord does it, I can't do it and you can't do it.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's a faith journey.
Yeah.
Because God is bigger and his dreams create a bigger effect and impact on the earth. Reinhard Bonnke went to be with the Lord yesterday.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
What a warrior and a tribute to that guy in his life that's seen millions, like in the 80s of millions, I think the figure is, that he's seen through his revival outreaches. But going back to this by the field, when Louis Engle was calling for the actual the Azusa Now to take the Coliseum Stadium in America in 2016, which we had the privilege of being over at, he was praying to the Lord, say, Lord, I believe we're saying go to the Coliseum in San Francisco or Los Angeles, and I believe it's there because Billy Graham was there in 1954 and said, Lord, we need this and we're calling it in. And he said, but we have no money, Lord. And a few days later, he got a phone call from a lady that he knew. He said, by the way, Lou, I've just dropped $100,000 into your bank account for this next vision, whatever it is that you're thinking of. And so the Lord answered his prayers in quiet. Well, how do we do this, Lord? Where do we go to next? How do we manage this? How do we take on a stadium, a coliseum in Los Angeles, and call America and the world to come and join us here for an Azusa Now, a refreshing of the days of Azusa when revival broke out in that little street, Bonnie Bray Street, in the Methodist old, what had been used as an old stable. And the Lord came and dropped right into that little place in America, and from it, it went to the nations. I share this today because my heart is that when the Lord moves in this area, that you will see Christ Church, Bournemouth, and Poole. They are not named by accident. I believe it's a design and purpose that the Lord has called Christ Church to be called after his name. And that Bournemouth is for the specifics of born of the mouth. It's an evangelistic call upon Bournemouth to tell the lost that Jesus is real, the church is real. And then we will have full beside us for baptisms.
Amen.
It's a call to send. Thousands are going to come into the kingdom, and it's going to be a sending call that's raised that will take them across this nation. And then we'll turn our look and we'll face towards Europe. Then we'll go to from here to the nations. But I believe very much so that the Lord's been speaking so much over this past few years about him coming to this area. When he talks about fish who were struggling to get caught by the fishermen in the big boats, and they actually are so desperate to get caught, they'll come and they'll jump out on the shores off here on the south coast. Mm-hmm. And the guy that had the vision of that was a guy who worked for His Majesty's Treasury, and he actually, 2 weeks after he'd seen the dream and the vision, he'd seen the cottage guy, cottage chef, that guy down Hampshire Chef or the cottage, River Cottage, him. He's seen him sitting on a boat between Christchurch and the Isle of Wight, and he was fishing for a specific fish that he could cook, and he caught this fish, and it was called I can't remember the name of it, but it's specifically only found on the south coast waters of the UK. It was the actual fish that he's seen in the vision. And here's the chef catching it to cook it. And it's got long, slim, and it's got a pointed nut mouth, and it can jump. And that was the fish that he's seen coming, because it was desperate to be caught, and coming and jumping on the shores. In 2016, my son had left the house. They were living, him and his mate was living in a tent down the other side of Chesil Beach. They'd gone down there to look for work, because they heard there was painter and decorators needed. And he's not a painter or decorator, but he wanted work. So they went and they stayed in a tent for a few days to check out what was going on. With the dogs, they walked on the beach on a Tuesday night, and we were in the prayer meeting praying about the revival that was coming and about what was happening. And Sharon gets a phone call from our son saying, Mom, you're not going to believe this. He said, I've just seen the fish that Dad's talking about, and they've been coming out, there are hundreds of thousands coming out of the water, jumping up onto the shore, onto these pebble stones on the beach. I said, yes. There's a physical manifestation of what sign is coming to the south coast of England. Revival is coming to the south coast of England. When God releases his goodness and his flashpoint. Now going back to Lou. Lou had taken a big step to say, I'm going to the Colosseum. And he said, Lord, how do we do this? The Lord says, buy the field. He said, well, I've got no money to buy the field. I can't pay for this Colosseum. The Lord says, you've got a house. And a year before, they had never had a house, but somebody had given them a £1.3 million house. The Lord said, sell the house. If it means that much to you, sell your house and put the proceeds in. He says, okay, God, I'll do that. When you see the treasure in the field and you know what it can produce and the multiplication effect that God can put on the end of it and can spin off that, it will go to the nations, he said, yes, Lord, I'm with you. No matter what it takes, what it costs, we're going for it. He sold his house and the money went in. And the long story short, he ended up with his house back at the end of it. Because people heard of the commitment that he had and sold back in again. So the costs were covered. But like there was upwards of like between 80 and 100,000 people in that stadium who came to pray and to seek God's face for that day in America. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. When God's in something, and it's his dream that he's letting you in on, I think he's got a plan of seeing it fulfilled. I don't know about you. I ain't got nothing left to sell. When we went to America in 2009, we sold our house and we sold a lot of our money back in to the kingdom again. And when we come back from America, because when we were in America, we thought, well, maybe we'll buy a house in France as a holiday home. Maybe we'll buy a house in Kansas City and we'll use that as a boat hold when we go back and forward. And you know, because property was cheap in France then. Property was really cheap in Kansas City at that point. And I mean, you could pick up like a 4 or 5 bedroom house for somewhere around £30,000 to £40,000 UK. You know, so it's like a steal. And we had money from selling in Ireland. We had money that we could have done that. The Lord kept saying, no, no. We went with a plan to go from Kansas City and to visit every highlighted high spot where the Lord had turned up in revival, like Brownsville and like Morningstar, Toronto. We planned to go and visit all these places, even Bethel. And the Lord glued us to the floor in IHOP in Kansas City. And that's where he poured into us and spoke over us what we were coming back to do. And he specifically was leading us in our spirit to say that when I come, it's going to be like a flashpoint, and it's going to be like I'm coming to move. I'm coming to Christchurch and I'm coming. Will you go there? Will you be there? And we said, in an international house of pancakes, we sat and cried our eyes out because we heard the Lord's prompting and we felt it in our spirit and we knew the Lord was speaking and that we had to return and come back to Christchurch. So we know why we're here. Have we seen it yet? No. Have we seen discouragement? Have we seen people up and walking away? Do we feel lonely and rejected sometimes? Yeah. But I still know that God has spoken. His word is faithful. He is true. He is still on the throne. And he's coming to fulfill the spoken word and the word of the Lord over our lives here as a church and fellowship. Amen.
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 The race is set before us. We've got to go the distance. Do you like that, Mary? You can tell Andrew that was in the slides. Andrew would be really happy about that. Because go the distance. The reason why Lou started a lot of his ministerial stuff was because he watched the movie with Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
And all the way through that film, we watched it the other night, Thursday night, and it's amazing to see what's in that movie. And it was their daughter that picked up when he had built the field and seen nothing for months. And all those people are saying, you need to sell your land now. You've ruined yourself. You've got no crops. You've destroyed your ability to run a farm here. You're bust. You've got to sell. And the pressure was coming, coming, coming. And then one night, his daughter says, Dad, there's a man out there. And he goes over to the window and he sees this lone baseball pitcher standing out in the field. And they turn the lights on. And that was the start of war turning up. And then his daughter seen other stuff. And it was just like the children seen before the parents seen and realized. Even people that came couldn't see the players on the field. And then something happened to the child that ignited them and they began to see with their eyes. There's a move of God coming. And it's like, build a dream. Because when the Lord spoke to Lou about that dream, it was, if you build it, he will come. It's an amazing movie. Because it's all about a son's broken relationship with his dad. And if he builds it, he will come. The Father will come. If we build it, he will come. If I call, he will come. God's speaking something big, and we've got to take close. So we want to finish well. We don't want to actually get to the end of our days and think, hey, I wish I had. I wish I'd stayed with the dream. I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd walked this out. No, we want to be the ones that actually cross the line, knowing that we've achieved what the Lord was speaking over our lives, and no matter what it takes to pursue and go after, we chase it down. Because when God speaks, there's something in your spirit that it's night, and you begin to realize, this is why I'm alive. It's not just sitting here on a Sunday. It's not praying for one or two down in the streets. It's not having little prayer meetings. It's actually accomplishing and calling in the kingdom of God for right here, right now, in this area, for to see the glory of the Lord touch lives, that they get to experience this King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is their Savior, and they're going to be given an opportunity to come and meet Him. Amen. Then they're going to get healed up. Then they're going to get discipled. And then they're going to go to the nations. That makes me excited. I'm not interested in just doing church on a Sunday and doing life as normal. It's got to be for something more. Otherwise, my life is not worth counting. And God doesn't give you life, gives you breath, gives you what you need to do life, just to be normal. He calls you to be supernatural, and part of that supernatural is stepping over the line and finishing the race well, seeing the picture ahead of you, grasping it, calling it in from the Lord, and saying, God, we want this. We want what you want, and we're calling it in because we're giving everything that we have to say, I'm going after that. I'm going to sell my field. I'm going to find the pearl of great price because you're the God that says, I have hidden things in the earth. I have hidden things in the darkness that is yours to call upon when the time is right, when we need to move jointly as the kingdom of God to take nations.
Amen.
That's our God.
Yes, Lord.
That's why you're here. You're not here to waste 70 years and maybe pop off and hopefully you got a ticket that gets you in. A ticket's no use unless you've used it. Unless you get to the other side and you meet the Lord and you say, I'm so glad, God, that we did that together. Look what we did. Look what happened. I want to be a partner of Jesus in His kingdom. I want His kingdom to grow. I want children to experience God's encounter. That's why it's important that Andrew's in there with those kids, with Jane. Because out of that, you don't know what can birth. These kids walked in this past 2 weeks, and they brought prophetic words. They brought words and visions that they had seen when they were in there being taught. I never had that when I was a kid growing up in Sunday school. I was read Bible stories, and somebody talked to me about them. But that's where it stopped. There was no availability or knowledge even of the supernatural God that's still so much alive today. That He was there. He hasn't changed. And now with our children in this generation, God is sowing in and preparing hearts of the children for the next generation. And we've seen and we've heard clips of it. When the revivals hit the past, you've heard of children doing exceptional things. In Coleraine, with the 1859 revival, in the school I was brought up, the Royal Irish, the Honourable Royal Irish Society, where you taught, Margaret, for a number of years. When that revival hit in 1859, it came into the school. And it came in with a 7-year-old young girl who stood up in her class and she began to share about Jesus Christ. And the teacher stood up and said, you need to sit down. And I think from what I remember, she looked at the teacher and the teacher fell flat on her face. She spoke the gospel. And every one of those children said yes to Jesus Christ. It didn't end there. She took the other classroom and they walked all the way, like half a mile, up to the local hospital. And they went through the hospital, prayed for all the sick, and every single person was led down through the high street by these children in a procession. They emptied the hospital. Children entered the hospital, not a sick person left, and it's actually noted in the local tabloids. You can look it up, and it's still there, the account in the Korean Times of what actually happened. Those were foretasters of what's coming. That's what excites your heart, you know, because you know that God's been dropping little flashpoints throughout history of What he's doing, little nuggets of what is about to come in like a flood. Because the picture of these fish hitting the shores, it's like our son saying, it's hundreds of thousands. It's not the, you know, the little few or a fisherman who can grab maybe five or six with his line. No, this is the sort of fish catch that the disciples encountered when Jesus turned up and said, cast your nets on the other side. They brought in a big catch, and it was so breaking their nets that they needed help. That's what's coming, folks. We're going to be the people in this area that need help. Even from outside of this area, we're going to be calling, hey, we've got such a thing happening down here. God is moving so heavily and so weakly in this area. We need to come. You need to come help us. We need help. And because God is about to move, he's about to release his plans. The authority of heaven has been gearing and stirring the heavens for this for a long time. The angels of the Lord have been crying out to the Lord, when, Father? When? When is it? I'm telling you now that we're about to move in this next 10 years. We're about to see some radical encounters and some radical encounters. Some radical encounters. That's going to blow our minds. Because God doesn't always do what he's done in the past. He does a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Can you not see it springing forth? When God moves, he moves with freshness. He doesn't need old manna to create new. He does something new that will shock. And what have we got today? We've got the ability for when God moves, that every house in the world can see it and hear it through media today. The world has been set up for the biggest mass revival that it hasn't even realized what it's been building these functions for and generating all these amazing ideas of synchronized technology. But they've been doing it. God has been allowing them to do it because they are part of fulfilling the plans that God has put in place for this world. He is good. He is faithful. When he speaks, we hear his voice. When we hear his voice, we got to stay true to what he has spoken. Because not to do so means we pull back. And we are not designed to retreat. We're designed to go forward. We're designed to take territory and to see the kingdom of God touch people's lives, to see their hearts melted. Guys that have been so hardened and busted up by life, they've become so twisted in their hearts. And to see someone walking into a prison and then coming in and Jesus meeting them. And see these hard guys with tattoos all over them and they're singing the songs of Jesus with all of their hearts. They're not ashamed because they find the person that they've been looking for all of their life. The one that can love their heart the way it needs to be loved. And that's what the Father does when he comes and encounters. And we want to be part of the scenario that ushers in the kingdom of God right here, right now, in this arena of the south coast of England. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So why don't you stand? Father, we just call in, Lord, revival. We call in today, Lord, as we've made an open declaration of the stand, Lord, that we are taking and adhering to. The very stand, Lord, that you placed upon our hearts. And we say, no, Lord, we don't accept this as a fallen word because nothing comes from your mouth that doesn't return to you without accomplishing that what it's been sent to do. So that gives me confidence, O Lord, that you are true to your word. And Father, so we call upon that word, Lord, and we remind you today, Lord, send the fire. Send what it is, Lord, that we need in this nation to actually completely turn us upside down and put fire in our bellies again, where the songs of the Welsh will be heard all over this nation again, where the anthem of the English will rise up with victory and hope again and bring in glory to the nations, where the Scots will rise and the Irish will rise and the Celtic fires will be lit again all over these nations. To cause and call the Lord God Almighty, his voice to thunder like the thunder of a thunderstorm roaring right through. Your flashes of lightning,
yes,
your peals of thunder, Lord, that they'd be seen over this nation again, Father, and that the hearts of men and women would come into your kingdom, Lord, would see the God of glory, would see the King of Kings, would be so excited and touched and moved by the stories of their nephews, nieces, and their fathers and mothers who get healed of some of the rarest forms of diseases, and they walk out of hospitals because you've moved.
Lord,
Father, that they would not take it and take it lightly, Lord, but they would see it for what it is, that the kingdom of God is on the move, that Aslan has roared, and there will be no longer any putting back of a sword into a scabbard, because once you draw your sword, Lord, you mean business. And you're coming, Lord, to harvest before you return to the skies. So, Lord, we say, let us be used of you. Father, fire us. Give us dreams and visions, Lord, in the nighttime hours. Father, bring in the provision that is required. Lord, and let your glory come. Let your glory come, Lord. Let it fall. Let it flow like a river, Lord. Let it be unstoppable. Let it touch this nation, Lord, like it's never been touched before. So, Father, we call on your name today, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who carries glory, to come. Come to this area. Come. Come and fulfill your word, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord. Amen.
You got kids, you're perfect.
Hello.
Okay, we've been doing some listening to God this morning, and we're going to start with Faye to explain what your picture is, Faye.
My picture is a picture of a tree with a flame surrounding it, and that reminded me of Australia, and the word I got in my head was flames and freedom.
Oh, yay!
Okay. My picture was a very open flower, and I got the word bloom to start with. But afterwards, I got the word we all need light to bloom in the spirit.
Wow! Okay.
And you were talking about the seed, weren't you?
Micah
did a picture of a hot air balloon.
Wow.
And he was in the basket. And I was on top of the balloon for some reason. I'm not sure.
Wow.
I'm not sure, but he said it's very sticky, don't worry.
But he then added all of us. He added his sisters, he added me. He just wants everyone up in that balloon with him, which shows Micah's heart, actually, I think. But he wants everybody to share in that adventure of going up in the balloon.
Yours. Could you hold that on the screen?
Yeah, this is where the kids show me up because I can't draw the toffee and then could. So yeah, I saw a crown, then I saw a sword, then I saw like a cloak, which is like a mantle. And I saw them all lying on the sand and then the waves were covering them. I said, God, what's that about? And he was saying, walk on in. And what I sensed was, these are the things that we think we know, and they're all good things. It's like last season's stuff. It's last season's authority. It's last season's knowledge and revelation. It's all good. It's last season's mantle. But he's saying, lay it down.
What?
Let my spirit wash over you. I've got something better for you. Trust me.
And that's mine. I am the bread of life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And I will provide your needs, trust in me. Because we're partly asking about, or asking the Holy Spirit at the future coming year and stuff like that. So that's part of what we're asking. So there you go.
Excellent.
Amen. Well done.
Thank you, kids. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And perfect timing coming in at the right time. You must have knew that.
We're wearing a corner.
Are we? So, have a great week, folks, and enjoy. And this message will be on Father's House, hopefully later today. So, if you want to listen to it, you can pull it back up again and listen to it. So, I deliberated over what I should share today and what I should hold back on. I didn't really hold back on anything, so it's out there. And 418 is significant. We're called to carry it. We're called to walk it out. And so next year, Lou has actually launched another call in Boston, Massachusetts. And he's going to the Fennel Stadium in Boston, and he's going to be there on the 18th of the 4th. As the Americans call it, 4/18. And that's a Saturday. So he's going to the stadium on next April, the 18th, to do another call and send gathering there. So it's just amazing to see how God just plans and puts things together and how he works them all out. And it's just great to watch. Mm-hmm. If you get the chance and it's live, watch it on your TV, because the Azusa Now was live, and it was amazing being there. But I know so many people actually watched it in their homes and got blessed. So God is up to something when he's on the move, and stadiums will be filled and England will be saved.
Amen.
Never
Amen.
Look at
Europe. And we're going to Bournemouth Stadium in the name of Jesus.
Bournemouth
Amen.
Stadium.
Amen.
And Angus Bucking,
yeah.
South African, what was the stadium he went for when the Lord spoke to him? King's Park Stadium. Bournemouth is in King's Park.
Yeah.
So that faith like potatoes stirs me up every time I watch it. And again, impossibility. And he went in there with no money, and they got the stadium, and it was covered. Yeah, and the men of Africa came from all over to actually pray in that one day. Nothing's impossible when God's hand's upon it. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you guys.